Welcome to Art If, the podcast about art, life, and everything in between. All right, so today we talk about provocation number 18 from conductor Nolan Dresden.
This provocation asked us to listen to a piece of music that we've listened to 1,000 times and to find something new in it or let it take us somewhere new.
And so in this mini-sode, we talk about the joy of revisiting familiar music and how there are always new details and perspectives to be discovered.
Do you have a metronome on?
Yeah. How do I turn it off? How is it off? Oh, there it is.
Maybe we should just do this whole episode on beat.
No.
I guess it's an appropriate opening for a show, a mini-sode about music, though.
Yeah.
All right. So, how was
the
experience?
It's been so long since we've done this. I forgot how to do it.
I know.
Okay. So what song did you pick?
Well, so I picked Nonstop from Hamilton.
Okay.
And I don't know, I thought about a few different songs. I often have like a visceral reaction when I hear music that I've swam to competitively.
Oh.
Like even if it's, because you know, when you swim to a song, you hear it over and over and over and over again for a full year. And so even though I don't remember the moves, sometimes like I'll hear it, I'll be like, oh, like I'll feel that sort of rise of competition. So I thought about doing that, but then I decided to do this song from Hamilton because I was listening to this album a lot, and this song in particular, when I was writing my dissertation.
Oh. So you went traumatic.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I was trying to see, like, how I felt or, like, what I found in it now that that piece is removed. Because this song in particular, because the writer goes, how do you write when you're running out of time? How do, like, it became kind of like a mantra. So it was less of the trauma and more of, like, the inspiration song to get it done. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, I guess I know, you know, I was listening much more closely to it than I was when I was, you know, I would have it on kind of in the background. And I knew it so well, it became background at that point.
Uh-huh.
So I noticed there are, like, you know, little flourishes in the music I noticed, or there was, like, I don't know the instruments well enough, but there was, like, that knock, 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 like a marimba or something. There's some funkier stuff in there that I didn't notice. And then also, as much of it, I thought of it as, like, oh, Hamilton has this great thing to say, right? Like, he's fighting for the Constitution. He's writing all the time. He can't get enough. There's a lot of back and forth, and it's about both him and Burr, right? Like, so in my mind, it was about the solo figure who's, like, passionate and writing what they believe. But I think that there was more dialogue than I remember and more sort of collaboration.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so that those were my, like, thoughts. There are definitely new sounds I heard, and I have a new, a closer understanding of, like, how the song functions narratively when you're really listening to something, you know? And it didn't feel stressful. I was actually, that was a test, like, would I feel stressed out listening to it? And I didn't. Like, it reminds me of that time, but I'm not as emotionally invested in the song as I thought I was.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I also like the way you're pointing out the narrative of the song, because musicals rely so much on the songs to propel the narrative. And,
right,
like, sometimes, like, the rest of this musical often doesn't make sense without the song, you know?
Right.
And that's something I always kind of find annoying about a musical, actually.
But that's, like, the I can't even say words anymore. That's, like, the apex of, like, what a musical became, was when the songs propelled the narrative.
Well, I know, but I guess I'm thinking of, like, the musicals that have that, like, that Sprechstimme feel to them, where it's just, like, kind of, like, sing-talking.
The speaking song.
Yeah, and I find that hard to I find it hard to follow narrative when that's the way it's delivered.
I see.
Because I rely on the intonations of normal dialogue a lot.
I see.
And you don't get that when it's being sung, and it's hard for me to follow. You get something different.
Yeah.
You get a feeling narrative, but not a literal narrative sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or I find the literal narrative hard to... But I was talking about this with a friend of mine. Her daughter can't remember lyrics to songs, and neither can my dad. Like, he literally can't hear the words in a song. And I feel like I do pay attention to lyrics a lot, but in a musical, I find it hard to follow the story. Yeah, that's not always true, but...
No, I know, but I mean, I take the point. So in terms of, like, understanding the narrative of the song, it's not just within the, like, musical, but I think it also goes to show sort of how particular audience reception can be, right? If I'm in one mindset where I have to write this document that I believe is, like, powerful, I'm going to focus on that plot line. Whereas now I'm hearing more of, like, the Burr storyline and the detracting and the sort of people against him, which I was not in, like, the mind space to hear the when I was listening to the song a lot before.
So. Interesting. Did you imagine Burr as, like, Sukiyama?
No, but, like, no, because Burr, in the earlier versions, like, I didn't even hear Burr.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't, it was about Hamilton and this quest, and I envisioned myself on a similar quest.
Fine.
No.
Well, my song choice is not near so complicated or, I think, revealing about me, but... maybe it is in some other way. I spoke too soon. So I picked a song that I sing at karaoke.
Amazing. Okay.
Because I knew it would be a song that I have listened to a million times because I am not a good singer. But I love karaoke, so I actually practice before I go.
Awesome. What's the song?
It's Black Horse and a Cherry Tree by Katie Tunstall.
Okay, I feel like I have a vague memory of hearing you do this one late night.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so actually, maybe the funny segue here is that when I listen to this song, I'm focused 100% on the lyrics, right? Because I'm studying it to sing it. And maybe that's also why I'm not good at karaoke, because I can't balance the lyrics and the music at the same time. So I can't do, like, what they call in the pocket. I'm just, like, singing words and the music is playing and, like, we're just hoping that I'm hitting it at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, karaoke is such a casual environment, I think. It's always in the pocket.
So, yeah, I feel like my experience with this was very similar to yours. I was listening very intently and very intentionally.
Yeah.
And that was a fun experience to me to be paying that close attention to the song. So I did really enjoy this. And the thing that popped out to me in the song was this, like, clackety-clackety percussive sound. And what I really liked about it immediately was that it kind of reminded me of horse hoofs on a cobblestone street, right? And, like, the song's called Black Horse. And so I was yay, harmony! It's, like, harmonious in the narrative!
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I don't know that because I know that song as well. I don't know that I ever noticed that. That's cool.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, very much in the background. And what it actually is the drumsticks hitting the frame of the snare drum.
Uh-huh. Like
the rim. So they have that, like, thin sound that, like, doesn't resonate, and so it has this, like, kind of choppy, clippy sound, percussive sound to it. But it also made me, when I noticed that and thought about how this particular instrumentation underscores things that are obvious to us in lyrics, it made me just be like, oh, duh, of course harmony matters in everything, right? Because it's something that's subtle, but that really ties the piece together and, like, fills it out and fills it up. And
I think what you're saying too goes back to what you were saying about how you get a feeling, right, from a Sprechsang that you might not from a piece of dialogue, in the same way, like, all these other musical elements sort of help, even if they're not so literally telling the story of, like, a horse with horse hooves, you're getting the emotionality through the music. And so they're all playing, like, different roles, right? like the oboe is the mistress. But the idea, right, that you're getting this sort of atmosphere, this emotional atmosphere.
I am currently rewatching Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist with Joel.
The season two is coming out.
I know. Like this week. And they're taking season one off tonight, and we still have 5 episodes to get through.
Oh, well, he better be watching, like, as we speak.
He is.
Okay, good.
But I'm obsessed with the storytelling and the way they pick the songs there.
Interesting.
I think the song choices are so brilliant. There's a lot to be desired in the rest of the writing, but the song choices are lovely and magical and are the story.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, you can tell someone really likes pop music, has like a good knowledge and love of pop music. Yeah. Cool.
Well, thanks, Nolan. This was a super fun provocation. I'm really glad that we did this.
Yeah, and I'm like, hope to make time to listen to music more intentionally rather than just let it be the background of like my activities. So thank you.
Yeah.
Don't forget to share your provocations with us by tagging us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And of course, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you are listening.
Art If Podcast is produced by
Hattie Cry
and Yasi Jahanmir.
Our theme music was composed by Muhammad Abdul Salam.
Follow us at Art If Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook to stay up to date on upcoming episodes and to join our vibrant community of artists.